Hello, you are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. It was on this date back in 1874 that Herbert Hoover, the 31st President of the United States, was born in West Branch, Iowa, and I thought I might come on and share some interesting facts about Herbert Hoover, who is remembered as one of our villainous presidents more so than our great presidents. He's sort of just remembered for ushering in the Great Depression, but if you ask me, the thing that you say caused the Great Depression will say more about you as a person than it does about the actual history of the Great Depression. And I think that's actually sometimes more interesting, but that's neither here nor there. Let's jump right in with some of the few things I know about Herbert Hoover. He was the first president born west of the Mississippi River. Before him, all of our presidents had been born on the east side of the nation. Herbert Hoover was born on August 10th in a two-room whitewashed cottage built by his father in West Branch, Iowa, a small prairie town of just 265 people. The future president did not cross east of the Mississippi River until he was 22 years old. He was actually, when he was 2 years old, he was a very, very sick child. He was sick enough that a doctor declared him legally dead. You can actually look up his death certificate online from when he was 2 years old. As was custom at the time, they had actually put coins on his eyes and already covered him in a sheet. And just a few hours before they were going to go bury him, he actually shot straight up, and he was not actually dead. He was just very ill. A few years later, though, he would become an orphan. When he was 6 years old, his father died of a heart attack while suffering with a bout of pneumonia. And a little more than 3 years after that, his mother died from typhoid fever. That left him and his older brother and younger sister parentless. The three children were separated and lived with various relatives. When Hoover was 11, he was put on the westbound Union Pacific train to live with his uncle John Minthorne in Newborn, Oregon. There he became friends with some local Native American boys that sort of taught him to take care of himself. They taught him to hunt and live off of the land. He didn't really end up doing anything with that skill set, but, you know, it was a thing he learned when he was a kid. In 1891, Hoover enrolled in the West Coast University founded by industrialist Leland Stanford. It was the first class of Stanford University. While the future president failed Stanford's entrance exam, the professor who administered the test admired his remarkable keenness and admitted him conditionally. Hoover had so little money at that time that he lived in the barracks housing constructed workers' building in the university. Hoover served as a financial manager for Stanford's football and baseball teams, won election as treasurer, and met his future wife in geology class at Stanford, so that really set a lot of the groundwork for what would come for him. He was a self-made millionaire, you know, coming up from being an orphan at the age of nine. He invested what money he could make in gold, and then after he'd made a bunch of money in gold, he had reinvested that into a stock market and became a millionaire several times over. And he was actually very generous with this wealth. He actually helped save millions of people from starvation between both of the world wars. He also aided the military in a very, very large way. He was actually such a great humanitarian that he was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize like 4 or 5 times. But he spearheaded a private effort to ensure the safe return of 120,000 American tourists stranded in Europe during the outbreak of World War I. He helped deliver food to the neutral Belgium, where 7 million people faced starvation. Later, he headed the American Relief Administration, which delivered food to tens of millions of people in more than 20 war-torn countries. Between 1921 and 1923, the aid he directed to famine-stricken Soviet Union-fed family members saved more than 15 million people. "Whatever politics were involved, they shall be fed," he declared to opponents who accused him of aiding communism. And after World War II, Democrat President Harry Truman asked the Republican Hoover to circle the globe to coordinate efforts to avert a global famine. "He fed more people and saved more lives than any other man in history," said Hoover associate Neil McNeil. And that's no longer true because we have Norman Borlaug, the man who saved a billion lives. But Herbert Hoover was a very prolific humanitarian for a very long time, and he's not really remembered for that, unfortunately. Franklin D. Roosevelt once wished Hoover would actually become president. He wrote in a letter once that he thought Herbert Hoover was a wonder and that he wished he could make him president of the United States. And then after he became president, oddly enough, he did end up running against him against his second term. Before Hoover became president, he starred in the first television broadcast in American history. I don't know much more about that than what I just said. I just know that he, the first television broadcast that went over telephone wires in, I want to say, 1925, he was the one that was speaking and gave the little report to the newspapers and dignitaries outside of the White House. He said something along the lines of, human genius has overcome the necessity for travel, something along those lines. I'm not entirely familiar with what exactly he said, but he won the presidency in his first ever election campaign. Hoover never held an elective office until he won the 1928 presidential campaign, which he won by a landslide. He was a very, very popular candidate. And finally, my personal favorite little fact about Herbert Hoover, there is a sport that bears Hoover's name. You might have heard of it. To keep physically fit, Herbert Hoover invented the sport of Hoover ball, which is similar to volleyball, but instead of using a soft, spongy volleyball, it uses a 10-pound medicine ball. He wrote that it required less skill than tennis, was faster and more vigorous, and therefore gave more exercise in a short time. An associate friend of his said that it was more strenuous than boxing, wrestling, or sprinting. And it's just not a very pleasant sounding sport if you think about it, playing volleyball with a 10-pound medicine ball. Although there is still a league for that, a National Hoover Ball Championship is held in Hoover's birthplace of West Branch, Iowa, every year. And that is just about all of the fast facts I know about Herbert Hoover, who was a sort of misunderstood president, sort of gets a worse rap than he probably deserves. Remember, if you like these history segments I do, you can find them online at kggfradio.com. Just click on the community tab and go down to On Demand and then select one of the topics you'd like to hear us talk about. Usually it's me, sometimes it's me and Deb. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.